Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
Matt Logan,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are four board-certified music therapists with a mission to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth. Join us each month as we talk shop and share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, listeners. So before we started recording, we were trying to figure out if we shared some pretty big news that one of us has to share. And quite frankly, Matt, Rachel, and I cannot remember if we talked about this. So if this is a repeat, apologies. But we need to check in with Michelle because Michelle has had a pretty big change happen this month. Right, Michelle?
That's right. I moved. A big move. We moved to West Virginia, to Jefferson County, which is in the panhandle of West Virginia. Yes, West Virginia has panhandle, which I totally didn't realize until we moved here. And I'm like, and I looked at the state. I was like, oh yeah, because I always think of the Florida panhandle. But yeah, so we are in a town called Ranson, West Virginia, which happens to be, what Google is telling us, it's about like an hour and a half car ride to DC. It's very close to Virginia and Pennsylvania, and it's a very historical area. Lots of Revolutionary War and Civil War battles happened in the area. It's very close to Harper's Ferry. And we have moved, like we are out of Florida and in our new temporary home. And while we figure out where we're going to move, because we didn't want to jump into a house. And so that's why I wasn't on last week, because at the time of that recording,
you were packing
up. In the midst of packing up.
Yeah, you were in the midst of packing up and about, I mean, like 2 days out from leaving Florida, which Florida is very sad that you're gone.
Thank you.
You're gone from Florida. But I'm really happy for you all.
Thank you. And it's, we're moved because Ed, my husband, got a cooler, bigger job. So, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. But the fun thing is that as soon as I made it Facebook official, which took, we really had to wait a long time because of schedules and just personal logistics of when we could kind of make this public. But so I don't know that people really had a lot of warning about our move.
No, it was
pretty
fast.
But the funny thing, was it? Okay. He works in government, like local government, so we cannot tell people things like that, you know, like you're moving, because it will cause this chain reaction of panic when someone leaves, you know, like, because of like, well, who's going to replace you? What's, you know, just all of that. And it's always okay, but it's just a lot of people will ask a lot of questions. The funny thing is that when I posted on Facebook that we were moving and I remembered that this is now I'm back in the Mid-Atlantic region for music therapy, someone, I can't remember who it was, posted on there, "Welcome home, West Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic region is so happy to have you back."
That's
and I thought
awesome.
That was really nice.
That's awesome. Well, and okay, so I'm still stuck on something you said a couple minutes ago when you said you live in the panhandle of West Virginia. And geography, I can name places, you know, states and some countries,
right,
and things like that, but not necessarily strong suit. I'm looking at a map of West Virginia, and I'm trying to figure out where the panhandle is.
So it's the very eastern, it's the eastern part of the state. That's that arm.
Oh,
that comes out of West Virginia and east. That's their eastern panhandle.
I see it. Yeah, and it's called Got it. Okay. I've never really.
Yeah.
I obviously know what the Florida panhandle is, but I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
It refers to the shape of something.
Mm-hmm. And where we are is the very tip of that, the very end of it.
Yeah.
And actually, another cool thing is that we end up being like 20, 30 minutes from Shenandoah University.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So a big music therapy hotspot. And we end up being like an hour and a half or something from Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So I'm moving to a lot of, like, a big music therapy area.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
Have you been singing a lot of John Denver?
In my head.
Country roads?
Especially on the drive. That was another thing when I made the comment, like, public, we're here, we're moving. Like, my one music therapy friend, who I don't remember now, was like, did you know John Denver wrote that song was written after he went through that area of West Virginia?
My new Blue Ridge Mountains, yeah. Shenandoah River.
So, and it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's not Florida. It's green and, you know, hilly. I cannot wait till the fall. I'm so excited to have seasons again. And I really am really happy to be. We're 6 hours from family now compared to 24.
In Ohio, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ohio and northwestern Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Right,
so
Pennsylvania, of course.
There, I mean, both sets of grandparents have already come and visited. We've been there like 2 weeks. So 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
So, like, they're excited. So I'm excited. It's really, I'm sure when winter comes, I'll be, you know, slowly miserable.
You can commiserate with me.
Yeah.
I'm the token Midwest
my
person.
Mouth shut.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really happy to be here. It's great. And it's like the history. I can't wait till we finally can like really explore the place and see the old houses and the I like that kind of thing.
And when Eddie's old enough to go to DC and go to Philadelphia and you know, I remember that cuz I grew up in Northern Virginia. And, you know, I got to see and go on field trips to all of these colonial types of sites and, you know, the museums. I mean, when he's old enough to really appreciate and want to do that, that'll be a blast.
Yeah. I cannot wait to take him to see the, Natural Sciences Museum, the one with the big elephant when you walk in, that one, I can't wait to take him there.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But that one.
You've got an elephant?
The one with the elephant. Maybe one of our listeners can fill it.
Sounds more like a zoo.
Oh, Michelle, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah. So we kind of moved cross country. Ed and I were talking about that's kind of like, it's not as far as cross country, but it's still pretty far. And we were like, wow, that was a lot in a short amount of time, but I'm glad that's over.
Yeah.
Well, so what's like the population of the town that you're in?
Small.
Is it a big, small. Okay.
It's small. It has about, I think 15,000.
Okay.
Oh,
that's small. That's small.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. No, it's smaller than that. It's 4,500. That's what it is.
That's a little different, Michelle.
Yeah, it's really small. And Ed is working for the city of Ranson. He's the assistant city manager. So we're learning a lot of people really quickly because it's very small.
Everyone.
And yeah, probably we have. I mean, these are just the nicest folks I've ever met in my life. So I'm really happy to be surrounded by just nice people and just a beautiful looking town. And I'm excited. Just need to unpack. I just need to be excited about unpacking. I need those two to meet and I'll be golden.
the trick that we do, because, you know, we've moved a couple of times is you, and not family, but you schedule, you know, like a party or a dinner party or something like that. And then that kind of forces you, okay, we got to get the house ready.
That's a good one. I should do that. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Well, we're glad you're joining us again this month, Michelle.
Thank you.
As hard as it can be to fit reading into our busy schedules, it's a great form of both personal development and self-care. We're always looking for book recommendations ourselves, so we thought we'd help you expand your reading list. In this episode 70 of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast, the four of us share what we're reading this month and how it applies to our personal and professional lives. Now, before we get to what we're reading, this question is a little bit selfish, I guess, for me, because I'm wondering, we're all very busy people, how do you find time to read? Because I am struggling with this.
Audible.
I'm with you right there. For
Audible,
sure.
I listen to books when I work out and when I'm drive. So that's, and that's what I've done. I started that habit when I was in Colorado and had a private practice, and you know, it started with books on CD and things like that. And then I got an Audible subscription, and that is hands down, outside of like what I had to do for school, which is, that's mm-hmm. different. That's homework. I'm not counting that in this category, but Audible, even to this day, I mean, I started a new book yesterday, and started it while running and sitting in my car in Miami traffic.
Okay. So I love Audible too, and I've been using it for years, and but I do have just one problem with it from time to time, where I'll be listening, but then like maybe driving or working out or something, or taking the kids for a walk in the stroller, and like 10 minutes later I'll find that I let my mind drift off, and I'm like, okay, now I just completely missed what happened in the last 10 minutes. So how do you manage to stay focused if you're doing something else at the same time?
I don't know.
You just don't have that wandering mind issue that I have.
I mean, my mind does wander, and then I just do the 30-second back a couple of, you know, however many times I need. So it does happen, but I don't know.
That happens to me when reading, too.
Yes, me too, Matt.
Yeah.
What was that?
That happens to me while reading, too. It's like you get – it's like I don't know what happened in the last two pages.
Right.
I gotta go back.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one with that struggle.
No. No. The only time that gets to be a real hassle for me is if I'm running and then – because I have this arm patch and my phone is there. So then I have to bring my arm over and I have to press all these buttons to change it. That's annoying. But I always figure it's my fault and not Audible's.
So let's talk a little about the kind of books that we read. Because I know that I have a certain type of book that I'm drawn to, but I'm curious about you all too. So who wants to go first?
Well, with that intro, I'm kind of curious as to the type of book you're drawn to.
Yes.
I want to know.
I'm a big personal development nerd. So I love to read anything that's going to help me become better in like a certain area of my life. So I feel like if I can learn from it and improve my life in some way from it, I'm much more apt to actually take the time to read or listen to a book if it's going to, like, make an impact on my life in some way. So I don't do a whole lot of fiction reading. It's more, like, nonfiction, like, workflow stuff or, like, business books and things like that.
Do you read parenting books, too?
You know, I did before Parker was here, and that was when that ended pretty much here and there. Well, you know, I realized that every kid is different. And so you might get some ideas from parenting books, but you're going to have to adapt basically anything you read anyway. So after a while, I was like, well, I have so little time to read anyway that I might as well read something that I can like concretely put into my life. So not a whole lot at this point.
That makes a lot of sense.
I don't read parenting books either.
Oh, really? That's shocked.
Not anymore.
What do you? So, what kind of books are you drawn to then?
Well, so I thought that the that 50 Shades of Grey was a really nice book.
Shut up.
No. I never read that either.
Okay, admission, I did read it.
Oh.
I totally did too, Kimberly. You're not alone.
Just saying. But I did find the voice of the main character, what was her name? Anastasia,
or like that?
Very annoying.
Oh, terrible. The writing was awful.
Yeah. Anyway, please continue, Matt.
Anyway, so just to clarify, I actually have not read that, but I'm glad I drew that out of both of you.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, I actually, very similar to Rachel, I read a lot of business books, self-development books. And although recently I've been trying to do more biographies and autobiographies, and I recently listened to a Benjamin Franklin biography that was really, really good.
I enjoyed it. He is not what you think. Yeah.
Nah, he was a cool dude.
It's like, wow. Yeah. Well, he's not like George Washington.
So tell me more, Michelle.
No, he was just like, he was kind of, I don't know how to say it for a podcast. He is very like a normal, he's like a, I feel like he would blend into this society well. I think if Facebook was around there, he would have a big following. But he was a smart kind of a, and clever smart, and, you know, like tricky smart kind of guy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Matt? I don't know how to say it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, because he wrote a lot of.
Too.
Well,
he could be kind of like that.
At times. He, his overarching, like Menti was, is what I'm doing. Like serving the common good, or are we, he was a great, he brought people together. So he started like the first fire department, and he like different clubs and associations that were all for some good purpose, you know. But he also, yeah, like you said, had a tricky side where he did a lot of satirical writing and would write under basically fake names and pseudonyms and he was kind of tricky. He was good at
For his benefit.
For his benefit, but also it seemed that his motive was usually to make things better, you know.
Nice. So Matt, you actually hit on the kind of book that I am most drawn to, and it's biographies and historical fiction. And it has shifted. Rachel, I used to be, when I had a practice in Colorado, most of my pleasure reading was exactly like what you're talking about, because that's where my mindset was.
Right.
But when I moved to Missouri, and especially once I started my PhD, I had to do so much scholarly reading and reading for classes and things like that, that I made the conscious effort, okay, when I'm, you know, listening to a book or anything else that I read that's not related to school, it's going to be something I want to read. And so... I've read like all of the Philippa Gregory books. She, historical fiction based in the Tudor era in like, you know, 1600s Europe or England. So I've read all of those. She has like 8 books. The one that many people know is, The Other Boleyn Girl, which was made into a movie like 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. She's the author of that. So I like a lot of historical fiction, and I also, too, like you, Matt, I like a lot of biographies, and in fact, right now, in many ways, I'm reading 2 of them, one on Audible and one on Kindle, and I didn't get to touch on this earlier, Rachel, but my sister got me a Kindle for my birthday in August, and this is the first, I mean, I've been listening to books for so long, I'm having to, I'm trying to make myself, you know, read a book on Kindle and set aside time to do that, which is kind of hard, actually.
It is. I know. Well, I keep downloading books from Kindle for my iPad and for my phone, just because I do spend a lot of time like nursing right now. So I figure, oh, well, if I'm on my phone, then I might as well be reading something, you know, constructive or enjoyable. But I usually find myself going to Facebook or Instagram. So.
I was like, I'd be on Facebook or playing.
That's reading. You're still reading something enjoyable.
It's true. It's true. I know.
I have a question and a book recommendation for you, Kimberly.
Ooh, okay.
If you like biographies. So the first question is, do you use the, I can't remember what it's called, Something Sync, where you can read it and listen to it at the same, you can read it or listen to the same book, and it will track where you are. So like if you leave off on Audible, if you stop, then in your Kindle, it will basically, it will have it ready to go where you, so you can read a book and listen to it.
Get
the same
out.
Book.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's
you need that, Kim.
Whisper Sync?
I don't know. Yeah. That's Whisper Sync. I've seen that word, but I had no idea what it was.
I think that's what it is.
Get out.
Does that sound right?
It does, yeah.
Mind blown.
I never knew what that meant either, but I always saw that word.
I know. Oh, I'm totally going to. So the answer's no.
Okay.
I
haven't used it either. I would like to talk to someone who has, because it sounds like a really cool way to read a book.
All right, listeners, if the word is out, if you've used this, please let us know. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Okay. And then a book recommendation, especially for someone who's in academia like you are. It's a book called Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman.
Ooh.
And this guy was a physicist, and he taught physics, but he was the most eccentric, cool. This was in the last 2 years. I've never read a book that I couldn't put down like this. It was so good. His voice is hilarious, and he's a physicist. And you absolutely should read it, okay. Especially since you're in academia like he was.
That is going next on my queue. Thank you, Matt.
Oh, you're welcome. It's hilarious. You'll love it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, so Michelle, we haven't heard from you. What kind of books do you like?
Well, I always have a fiction book going. Like I read every night. That's how I found time to read. I read myself to sleep, actually, because I read on my iPad, and I can't just lay down. My brain is always moving so much that I can't just fall asleep. So my brain is probably getting rotted away. Because don't they always say to stop screen time an hour before you go to bed or something? I don't do that. I just read until I fall asleep, and I always have a fiction book going, and I rent them. I borrow them from my library. Not every library has this. Like my new town doesn't, the library doesn't do this. But so you can borrow eBooks through the library, just like you would borrow a library book. It's all but it's all through your iPad. So that's cool. And then you can still reserve it. And then they instantly email, your book is available. And then it's in my app and stuff. So that's really cool. And you can request books too if they don't already have it on their system. So that's how I get books, is I just borrow them from the library. But I'm always reading something fiction. So right now I'm on book 4 of Game of Thrones. I'm totally into it.
Michelle.
And I did not watch the show.
Michelle, I just finished book 5. It took me over a year to get through all 5 books, and I just finished book 5 last month.
It's good. And I told Ed, when I'm done with these books, we have to watch a show. We don't have HBO. We actually, because of this move, I did not get us cable. So I guess we'll have to figure. I think there's an HBO app or something.
You can get it.
It's like a little flash drive type thing.
Oh, right? I got it for you, Michelle. I got it for you. Do you have an Apple TV?
No, but since they just changed it, I think Ed wants it because he's talking about it all the time now.
That's all we have. We haven't had cable in 8 years. We have Apple TV and HBO about 2 months ago. There's an app, and you can do this on your iPad too or your phone, called HBO Now. And it's a $10 or $15 monthly subscription, much like Netflix and things like that. Okay. So Game of Thrones is on there. We watched it all this summer.
Yeah. Well, we have a smart TV. And we have Netflix, so that's all we watch now. But anyway, so I'm always drawn to fake stuff. I want to live in fantasy land, and it's always science fiction or something about zombies and monsters or something like that.
You don't strike me as a zombies person.
I know.
Do you watch Walking Dead?
I did, but then I kind of forgot. I think I'm behind. I don't know if I'm caught up on Netflix and I'm waiting for them to add the next season. I don't really remember where we left off.
Yeah.
But and I always go back and forth from adult fiction and then the teen fiction. So I read all the Scorch Trials and all of that stuff. You know, back.
I don't know what Scorch Trials is.
Oh, it's a movie now. Maze Runner. But The Scorch Trials is the second book. Then there's a third book, and that just got weirder and weirder. But in a dumb way. But you still have to read all the books, you know. But so I like that fake stuff.
But then I watched four episodes
of what?
Of Walking Dead, and I'm done. I can't do anymore.
What?
That's how I was with Breaking Bad.
I was that way with Breaking Bad too. It was supposed to be so good, and it was good, but it was well done. But I was, no more.
I couldn't do Breaking Bad, but Walking Dead is one of our few shows that we watch regularly. Love it.
Once it's a show penetrates my dreams, like if I have a dream about it, I'm done.
Oh, I know. I know. I've had them too.
That's my criteria. If it makes it into my REM sleep, I'm out.
Okay. Doesn't that mean you really like it if it's in your dreams?
Or that it's had some kind of crazy effect on your psyche.
Yeah, I don't want to run from zombies while I'm sleeping.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah. It's
not fun. I don't remember my dreams. I very, maybe like once, maybe twice a year. I don't remember my dreams. I just know that's completely off topic. So I've never had that problem.
Well, now that we know what sort of books we gravitate to, I'm curious to hear what each of you chose for this month's podcast. So who wants to go first?
I can go first because I'm holding the book right now.
All right.
Which it's not fiction, actually, because every once in a while I do get like a real, like, you know, good, a healthy book, like a book that's like an apple, you know, a nonfiction. You
know? Is so, this your apple of the month?
Your vegetable books.
Yeah. Vegetable books. So, but it's because, okay, so the book is called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing by Marie Kondo. And I am also like on these like organizing Facebook groups, and this book has like burned up these groups. Like everyone's going nuts on it. And when I first found out about it, that was when we knew we were going to move, but we didn't, because we were like looking around, but we didn't have anything definite. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this book. I'm going to at least start. I can't help us move right now at that point, but I can help declutter the house because, you know, we always have too much junk. And this is amazing. This is a life-changing, this is a lifestyle altering book because it's just all about decluttering your things. It's a little kooky at times, but it's totally working for me. And so, you know, when you watch organizing shows on HGTV or you get the magazines that talk about, you know, organizing and hiding your clutter and that kind of thing. This book is about, no, you just get rid of it. And she walks you through the steps on how to get rid of things. And it's all this very personal process where you pick up every item you own and you look at it and you say, does this item spark joy? And if the answer is no, you get rid of it. So you kind of start thinking about your things in a whole other way on if this is really serving you and if it brings you pleasure, and then you should keep it. And once you start looking at your things this way, it's like it has been revolutionary to me, not just in the things I have around me, but just like as far as like mindfulness goes and thankfulness and like what I have, and also spending. Like I'm not buying, I don't go to Target and buy all that crap that, you know, we all do because it doesn't necessarily spark joy. And it's just been, it's crazy. Have you ever heard of this book, anyone?
What's it called again? Because I need that.
The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. It's a little book too. Like, yeah, you can read it.
I'm actually in the process of reading it right now. And I agree with you, Michelle.
Really?
It's, yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm.
It's a little kooky.
It is. Like, there are moments where I'm like, really?
Me too. But then I did it and I'm like, this is for real. Because another one of her tips is she has this order of things that you go through. Like you don't start by organizing the picture items and the really, like the photos, photo albums and the really personal things. Like you start with your clothes. And then there's like a whole series, which I don't remember how it goes, but I know clothes is first. And I did that. So I went through my clothes. And then she even has this way. There's a certain way of folding your clothes to maximize space, which I thought was whack. But I did it. And it's so true. Like, it's like, I have so much room now. And I actually don't have a lot of clothes anymore. But when I open my closet, I love everything in there. Like, I don't have a day where I'm like, what am I going to wear? I love everything in my closet.
Michelle, nice. I went through something similarly this summer. I got inspired by this idea of wardrobe capsuling. And I don't, you know, follow it religiously, but I got rid of 2/3 of my clothes over the summer. And I love I love and wear everything in my closet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other kooky thing that, but totally is real, because I actually did it because I was having a hard time. But she says, if you, when you get rid of an item, when you decide it does not spark joy and it's time to get rid of it, you actually out loud say to your item, "Thank you for your service." And then you put it away.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
So hear me out. Cause I started doing that. Cause as a joke, like, "Thanks for your service shirt," you know, and that kind of thing. But for the items where it was really tough for me to get rid of, like things I knew I didn't need, but I had to make a tough decision, I said to it, "Thank you for your service." And it was like, it made it so much easier to get rid of. It's crazy.
How did you get rid of these?
What?
How did you get rid of these items? Did you like take them somewhere? Did you put them on Craigslist? Did you throw them away?
A little bit of everything. It depended on the item. A lot of them I took to Goodwill. Or if I had friends that I knew would want them, like a baby thing. But this was also about the time when we were moving too. I just had good timing. So we were already selling a lot of stuff. Like we sold a lot of furniture to make our move easier, which I really needed to say, "Thank you for your service, couch," you know, because we had to do it. It's been real. Those big things. But so it was wacky, but actually saying that made it a lot easier. And now when I have those I'm not so sure about items, I can get rid of them. I can make that decision a lot faster. And I think it's because of that process. And she has tons more tips. But it is a different way of thinking. And you gotta, something you have to digest for sure.
That reminds me of, at most conferences and like regional meetings, I am roommates with Tim Ringgold, a music therapist who's also out here on the West Coast. For listeners who don't know him, he's great. But every time we leave a hotel room, he says, "Thanks, bed. Thanks. He just thanks the room." Mm-hmm. And I think he got that from someone too. And it's,
thing that she does is she says, when you enter your house, you should say out loud, "Hello, house, I'm home.
Really?
Thanks for waiting for me," or something like that. Like, it's just like this whole awareness of things, which seems nuts for sure.
Well, no,
but
that actually
really
seems...
does. It makes you feel more connected. Like, I know it's not a real person. I know it's a couch and a shirt, but it is when you start seeing them as items of service for you, like, you start taking care of them better too.
Uh-huh.
And you put things away and then you live this wonderful, clean life, I guess. I'm not there yet, but you know,
work in progress. Thanks for
sharing. Yeah.
I'm intrigued now. I may need to try some of this out.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start a book club.
I know.
Rachel, have you been saying these things to your items?
You know, not so much.
Are you going to now?
We'll see. I'm more like, I'm down with the practical tips with the book, but some of the things are just maybe a little bit far out for me. But hey, you never know. Maybe I will start trying them.
Yeah. It's definitely a Kool-Aid book. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Interesting. Well, my books are nearly as inspired. But I say books because I am reading two right now, and they both fully fall into this idea of biographies and historical fiction kind of thing. So one of them on my Kindle that I'm almost finished with is called The Marriage of Opposites. And it tells a story, and I'm told, because since I'm reading it, I'm probably completely going to mispronounce the names. But it basically tells the story of this family. There's apparently this famous Jewish painter who grew up in St. Thomas and was also has some French background, named Pizzotto, I think. And so this tells the story of some of who and what formed him. And it's mostly his mom. So it starts with telling his mom's story, who is just forced to be reckoned with. And then it tells some of his story too, because he's a lot like her. And I'm very close to finishing and wrapping it up, but it's a biography. I'm just enjoying it. And then the other one though that I just started yesterday on Audible is Unbroken, which some of you, it may be familiar if you haven't read it. It was turned into a movie. I think Angelina Jolie directed it and did well, I believe. I think it was a critically acclaimed movie. I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm reading the book right now, but the author of the book is Laura Hillenbrand, who, this is the first book of hers I've read. I think she also wrote Seabiscuit, and her writing is captivating. It's just so incredibly beautifully written. I'm just thoroughly enjoying. It's a joyful book to read. But yeah, this one is another biography, and it tells this story of this gentleman who, I think by all accounts, led a rather remarkable life. He was he ran in the Berlin Olympics in 1936, and now I'm in the part of the story where he is a World War II fighter pilot, and I believe he's going to be a prisoner of war at some point. And so this is his story, which I think is pretty, it's a remarkable, rather fantastical story. So I'm enjoying it. Those are my books.
Cool. Who was that by again?
Laura Hillenbrand. So Hillenbrand.
Cool.
And the book is called Unbroken.
Unbroken. Adding that to the list, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a really, I'm just so enjoying her writing. Yeah. So what are you reading, Matt?
I have a problem. I start so many books. I've got stacks of books, and I don't always finish them. In fact, I would say a lot of times I don't, which I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better at it. But the books I'm going to talk about today are Louder Than Words, which also I have not finished, but I'm in the process of reading. It's by Todd Henry, and it's about developing your authentic voice. It's kind of a self-development type book, but so I guess the subtitle is Harness the Power of Your Authentic Voice. And it's basically, it provides strategies and rationale for really being yourself and tailoring your message in a way that you can have the most impact. And it's fantastic so far. I'm really enjoying it, and I would recommend it to anyone. And then another book that I've been making my way through and skimming for a few months is Brain Rules by John Medina. And it's just about how our brains learn, how our brains process information, and provides tools, tricks, strategies for really capitalizing on what we now are learning about the brain. So I try to let that influence my teaching when I'm teaching, and also then anytime I'm trying to learn things or just perform better. So Brain Rules by John Medina and Louder Than Words by Todd Henry.
I'm going to have to totally check out that Brain Rules one. I'm always interested to hear how people, how they translate what we know from the, you know, neuroscience, cognition, perception type of research to, mm-hmm. you know, how they apply it for the layperson. So I'd be interested to read.
This is a good one for that. Very good.
Nice. Cool.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
So I am in the process of reading. I'm almost finished, and I'm a little embarrassed to say that I started this before Mia was born. So back in May. And
there's nothing embarrassing about that.
I know.
No way.
I know I shouldn't be, but I am to some extent, especially when you hear what it's all about. The title of the book is The Fringe Hours, and it's by Jessica Turner. And she is a blogger that also has a full-time job, and she has several children, and she has a scrapbooking hobby and does all these other things. So basically the book is about taking all these hidden pockets of time that you have in your life and using them to do things that refuel you and that like feed your soul and that kind of thing, or that that empower you beyond, you know, doing things for your family and doing things that are work obligations. And So
that sounds like the perfect book for you right
it
now.
It is. I know. Well, and that's why you would think that I would be taking what I've learned from the book and, you know, using those fringe hours to finish reading it. But yeah, that has not happened quite yet.
Work in progress.
It is a work in progress. And I am actually using it in other ways of my life, not just the reading, but more like, so for me, some of the things that really fuel me and recharge my batteries is doing the work that I really, really love to do, and that, you know, I don't have like specific hours in my day devoted to it. So that's where I've been applying what I've learned from the fringe hours, and I've been taking those pockets of time and using them for those kind of things, and it's been serving me really well. And so in that way I'm really grateful that I started reading this book. And what I like about it is that it's not just the author's perspective, but she's also interviewed tons and tons and tons of women and included their stories in the book. So you're getting all of these ideas about ways to, you know, turn down things that are really more just obligations, and to take that time and apply it in a way that is serving you as opposed to draining you. And I'm finding it really interesting and really fascinating, and there are a lot of innovative things that I'm taking away from it, and I'm sure that will be even more true once I finish it.
Yeah, I'm going to have a much longer reading list now after this podcast. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do this every month. This is fun.
Right? I know.
Rachel, I think you made a really good point. You said that even though you haven't finished the book, you're still taking things from it and applying things. And, you know, I kind of played into this. Sometimes there's a tendency to feel guilt that we haven't finished a book, but sometimes there are just a couple things that you need from a book at one point in time. So I've got books that have sat around for a while and I've gotten one thing out of them. And then a couple years later, I come back to it and I get something completely different. I think that's okay. And I think that's a good, healthy relationship with a book. And then I've got a question for you, Rachel. What non-music therapy related hobby or, skill are you developing, or would you develop if you capitalized on those fringe hours? Like what would we be surprised to learn?
Oh gosh. Well, honestly, I used to be really, really into scrapbooking, and I have a whole scrapbook collection from like my middle school years, high school years, all of my musical theater that I used to do. And I was super, super into that. And that probably doesn't come as a huge surprise, because you all know that I love to like document my life on social media and all that kind of stuff. But someday I would love to get back to that, especially now that I have kids and I feel like there's more of that to document. And I like kind of like the arts and crafts side of it. So that's definitely something that, you know, if I had more fringe hours, that I would probably spend doing. And that's why another reason that I was drawn to this book was because the author is also a scrapbooker and a crafty person. So we have that in common.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I have to say, I didn't know that you were into scrapbooking, but I'm not surprised at all. Just, you know, just because you do document everything. And even I think in the creative aspect of how I've seen your blog and the different online presences that you've had.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the gist has been the same. The content's kind of been the same. It's just the medium has changed because of technology making it so much easier. But there's something about having like a scrapbook in your hand and being able to, you know, show it to your kids rather than scrolling through your phone that I really love the idea of it. And so that's why I'm motivated to at some point get back to that.
Yeah. Well, and actually that, okay, so I have, this is for everyone in the group, because we've talked about Audible, we've talked about Kindle and other tablet type of readers. Do any of you ever get like a physical print book and read it?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Me too.
I do for like my brain book. I do for my Apple books, you know. the vegetable books. Like I bought, I bought this one. I talked about
that every podcast, Michelle. You come up with something that is like just so perfect. And
I know.
Thank you.
We missed it last month. I won't lie.
Yeah.
But that's what I think every night when I tuck myself in with Game of Thrones and hear about the murders and the, you know,
it's being chopped
off, the
debauchery
in the castle and all of that, you know. I think, oh, this is my junk food. You know, I love it.
Well, and you know, something that I like about a hard copy book is that I'm into like highlighting things and making notes, and you can do that to some extent on a Kindle book, but not in a way that it just feels so like satisfying and that you're really soaking it in when you do that to an actual book.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. I'm right with you all.
There are too many distractions on like an iPad or
right.
a Kindle.
Exactly.
So you get these notifications that I just like my two preferred methods are the hard copy first and then Audible second.
For the past 4 years, you've heard us tell you about Music Therapy Pro, a community of music therapists with access to members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, discounts with select members, and CMTE courses. As we mentioned last month, Music Therapy Pro is undergoing a facelift. It's still a little too soon to spill the beans, but next month we'll be rolling out some changes that we'll be sure to share with you. And with that being said, it's time to share our cool resource of the month. And this is one that I have been using like gangbusters recently. I've had it on my phone for a long, long time, but I haven't really started harnessing the power of it until now. It's called Wunderlist, and that's W-U-N-D-E-R list. And what I love about it, well, there are several things that I love about it. First, that you can have multiple lists. You can have as many lists as you want. So I have lists for my private practice, for my online business, for my home, for other projects that I'm involved in. But what I also love is that you can share lists with other people. So I share my private practice list with my business partner. I can share my house list with my husband and so on and so on. And then you get a notification each time a list item has been checked off by somebody else that you share the list with. So it's really handy when you're collaborating on a project or anything else. And then the other thing that I like about it is that you can set notifications and due dates so that you actually get a notice on your phone when an item is due. So that comes in super handy. And the app is free. It's available on your iPhone, on your iPad, and there's a desktop well, I guess it's just the website, but you can access it from any of those places. So it's super handy. Wunderlist, highly recommend it.
And you know we love our Pro Perk partners, and so this is our shout out. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on products and services from Metro Music Therapy's paper, Music Therapy eBooks, Music Therapy mailings, Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy, A Perfect Lullaby, the Music Therapy Research Blog, Listen and Learn, Music Therapy Maven, Bearpaw Creek, and Session Cafe. So thank you for your support. And if you're listening, be sure to check out those products and services.
Thank you for joining us. To see the show notes, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com. If you liked this podcast, take your skills to the next level by visiting Music Therapy Pro. Although currently under construction, very soon you can have unlimited access to almost a dozen CMTEs. Check it out at www.musictherapypro.com. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast.